Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report underway, and glad you're with us to wrap the week up. Busy show today, as always on Friday, so make sure you stick with us for the full hour. And don't forget, if you ever miss a show, a segment, you want to go back and catch something that you didn't get to hear, we're on Apple Podcast. You can search for the Hoosier Report, and if you would, while you're there, leave us a positive rating, a good rating. Leave us a review as well. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in the show. Also, we're on SoundCloud. You can find us in the app there by searching the Hoosier Report, or you can point your browser, pretty easy way to do it, directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Big news. I guess it's big news. Romeo Langford has hired an agent. I don't think that anyone thought he would continue on much further in the NBA draft process without representation, without an agent, given the fact that he's pretty widely renowned as a first-round draft pick at some level, although the portion of the draft he could go really varies depending on which mock draft you're looking at. But Catalyst Sports and Media is the name of the group that he has signed with. It was announced earlier this morning. And a little research on him will tell you more about the group that he signed with. Again, what does this mean for Romeo? It means that he has representation to talk to the agents, to talk to the NBA personnel, to talk to those that might be interested in potentially drafting him. Probably an important part of this thing is for them to have a full understanding of what's going on with his hand, how the surgery went, and obviously have a narrative for the shooting woes that may have been attached to some of that for over this course of the season, his freshman year at Indiana. So, again, it's big news because everybody wondered when that announcement would happen, and we all follow everything that Romeo has done now for a number of years. But as far as changing anything or learning anything or this being something that opens up the next thing, I really don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is interesting to know who will be representing him, and they represent a lot of other NBA players as well. We'll tell you about that here in just a few minutes. Coming up on the show today, the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Hoosier headlines in segment one presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We will talk about Romeo's agent, him signing announcement earlier today with Catalyst Sports and Media. Archie Miller and the IU tailgate is scheduled for Huber's in Starlight, not too far from us here. I know a lot of you listeners regularly make that trip to hear from Coach Miller and Coach Allen, and sometimes other coaches as well able to make the stop. Those details have been released. Also, a great note on a Silver Creek state champion player, Ty Kessinger. A lot of those kids are going to go on to play college basketball. Some of them have announced, I think now a lot of them have announced their college decisions, their college destinations. But Ty is going to get a really unique opportunity. He's going to be a preferred walk-on at a Division I program in Indiana. So we'll talk about that in our headlines. And also Josh Rogers getting the start tonight over in Louisville at the Bats game. He'll be pitching for Norfolk, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. We'll cover all of that and more in our headlines today presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Also, later in the program today, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call was with us today to talk IU hoops. And, of course, we're heading into a live period, a live weekend. A lot of coaches will be, I think Atlanta is Nike, Dallas is Adidas, Under Armour, I don't remember off the top of my head, but those will be the three major stops for the Division I coaches. It's such an important weekend for these guys to get out and see players, and they'll be able to see a lot of games in the format of these travel AAU shoe circuit events. because all the games take place under normally one roof. That's part of these circuits. They're at really first-class facilities, and the teams play a number of games on Saturday and a number of games on Sunday as well. But a couple of years ago, coaches got the opportunity to go out two different weekends in the spring and watch this stuff. More recently, it's been limited to just one weekend in the spring. And, of course, we know the calendar has completely changed. Outside of this weekend, I guess a 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. tonight until 5 or 6 p.m. on Sunday period when they can go to this stuff, coaches won't be able to watch any of the shoe-sponsored teams, any of the AAU stuff, again until July for another 3 or 4 day period. That's all. It used to be two periods in the spring, which has been reduced to one a number of years ago. It stays at one currently. It used to be in July, three periods. In fact, at one time, it was two different periods of two-week stretches that were open to coaches. Then that was relegated down to 3 4-day periods. And I think it's at one 3-day period or 4-day period now. So the chance for coaches to see these guys in these shoe circuits that have come so popular because it's the best players. They're playing with the best. They're going against the best. They're in the best facilities. It's easy for coaches to navigate. There's only three different locations with the major shoe brands across the country that they can basically cover with their coaching staff between the head coaches and the assistant coaches. It's going to be a little different. This is one of the prized opportunities to see these guys. The other opportunities, as we've discussed, some high school opportunity in June when they're playing with their high school team. And the NCAA, in replacement of some of the things they got rid of in July, is creating regional camps, which I'm going to be really, really interested with a lot of other coaches and a lot of other people to see how camps go as far as aiding the recruiting opportunities and the exposure opportunities, throwing kids together on random teams and random situations to play in front of coaches and try to show what they can do. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. No matter what happens, this is a huge weekend for coaches. Be really interesting to follow every move that Archie Miller makes. Where's he at? Where are the assistant coaches at? Whose games are they courtside for every game this weekend? That kind of will highlight some of the top prospects for the classes of 2020 and perhaps even 2021 as well. And then next week is big too, because there's an opportunity to make in-homes and some visits to schools and things like that for coaches. So IU is already, it's known that they're going to follow up with the Bloomington South's Anthony Leal. We'll see if he gets a scholarship offer after this weekend or if it's just another visit in the recruiting process with his family and Anthony as well. So, and there are some other visits, I believe, set up and that we'll find out about that the IU staff will be making next week as well. That's the lineup today after Jared Morris, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and that's what we'll do today on the program presented by Honey Baked Hams. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, Catalyst Sports and Media, the firm that will represent Romeo Langford, as I mentioned at the top of the show. It was founded by a fairly well-known agent. His name is Happy Walters. Thomas Bryant is also represented by Catalyst Sports and Media, and I'm reading from a story that Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall wrote this morning that kind of recaps the whole firm that is going to represent Romeo Langford. But other NBA players that Catalyst has represented or does represent includes Marcus Smart, of course, a standout player for the Celtics, Iman Shumpert, Mo Harkless, Jerami Grant, Landry Shamet, and others. Also, De'Aaron Fox was a well-known player that was represented for a while by Catalyst, but recently left the agency. I think Thomas Bryant, I mentioned that, is also represented by Catalyst as well. And again, just because Romeo or any of these 233 underclassmen that have declared for the draft, many doing it just for educational and learning purposes to go back to college next year, others like Romeo Langford have a legitimate opportunity to get paid and play NBA basketball as a first-round pick, maybe even a lottery pick as well. But new rules allow you to sign with an agent, test the NBA situation, not lose their eligibility. But I think everybody that I've talked to expects Romeo Langford to remain in the draft. And again, a lot of different mock drafts out there. The one that I like reading or following the closest is Jonathan Givony with ESPN Draft Express. Their latest mock still has Romeo number 11. The Ringer has Romeo at number 15. The Athletic, Romeo at number 10. And then the one we talked about earlier this week, Sports Illustrated Jeremy Wu, had Romeo dropping down to number 20. That's the lowest and one of the more reputable, the more bigger agency associated producing the mock draft. That's the lowest that I have seen him from one of those type, that level of mock draft out there. So we know Romeo's agent now. Again, agents primarily in the background. They will help he and his family navigate through this process and be a contact to help explain situations, provide updates, set workouts that could potentially happen, and really handle all of his affairs, including his contract and all the negotiations and so much that go in. Basically, an agent now, they have all become one-stop shops that not only handle your contract and but also your community involvement, any endorsement deals, help you with financial planning for the future. It's kind of they've become one-stop shops for professional athletes in most sports, getting professionals together across a number of different fields. So we know who will represent Romeo Langford. I don't know that we'll hear about Catalyst much or that will be something we think about much as he moves into the draft and hopefully an NBA career, but we do know now who will represent him in all of this stuff as well. Also, Ty Kessinger of Silver Creek, great story that he has. He is a warrior. He is a real fun player to watch. Not the most talented player, but he makes the most of every inch of ability that he has, and that's been recognized along the way. I'm sure Silver Creek winning a state championship helped not only Ty Kessinger, but all the Silver Creek players gain notoriety with college coaches and others that follow the great game here in Indiana. But he's got a unique opportunity to walk on at IUPUI as a preferred walk-on for Coach Jason Gardner, who was a former Mr. Basketball and a former great player at Indianapolis North Central. So a lot of the players from Silver Creek have committed to Division III schools, and I'm sure we'll go on to have terrific schools there. Well, they will be impact players as their careers advance, and Ty's going to get the chance to be part of a Division I program, a mid-major school, a program with Jason Gardner that you would think is on the rise here in Indiana. And again, his role may be a little different, a lot of practicing, a lot of helping the team get better, but it would not surprise me if Ty Kessinger doesn't work himself down the road into a couple minutes with his work ethic and his skills and what he will bring to that team. So pretty neat story. Glad to see that he will get the opportunity to play basketball moving forward. And in the story that was written today, it really talks about his past and how he really had to work hard to not only make the team, but to earn a starting spot and earn the opportunity to be a key contributor. So congratulations to Ty Kessinger on the opportunity to play basketball at the Division I level as a preferred walk-on at IUPUI. Tonight, Josh Rogers is back in Louisville. Of course, he was a former University of Louisville standout, also played his high school baseball at New Albany, played basketball for his freshman and senior years, by the way, if you don't remember that. He will pitch for the Norfolk Tides. That's the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. They play at Slugger Field tonight. It's an International League game. First pitch is 7 o'clock. Josh has a 1-1 record against 6'3", 220-pound left-hander. Got to make one appearance in a relief appearance for the Orioles back on April 10th. And has been back at Norfolk since then. Started the season at Norfolk, went to Baltimore, back at Norfolk again, and will get a starting pitching assignment tonight in Louisville. I can tell you this much. I was there when he pitched last season, and it was for the Yankees AAA affiliate. Josh will have a big, big crowd there tonight. He will get the loudest applause of any bat player, bat pitcher, bat home run, anything that could happen for the home team tonight. Josh will have an outstanding crowd and supporting base there tonight to follow him, given his popularity in Louisville and, of course, his family and friends that reside here in New Albany and throughout southern Indiana as well. So should be a fun night at the ballpark with Josh Rogers on the bump for Norfolk at the Louisville Bats. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us next. We're going to talk IU basketball and a lot more coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. This segment is always presented by the good people at Coffee Crossing. Don't forget the fourth area location. Coffee Crossing Sellersburg is now open, and it's conveniently located in Sellersburg right by Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Jared, the big story today is Romeo Langford officially with an agent now. That announcement was made this morning. Maybe you can speak on this better than I tried to in the first segment, but the role of an agent and what that means for Romeo to make that step and hire one, even though it really doesn't affect with new rules his ability to return to IU if that's what he chose to do. I don't think anyone expects him to do that. But what does hiring an agent mean? What does that allow a player to do? And how can they help Romeo through this upcoming process from now through the NBA draft in June?
Well, I think, you know, generally your agent is going to be your guide through the whole process. You know, as much as, you know, your parents are going to be involved and all of that stuff, you know, for most players, their parents haven't gone through a process like this. And so agents typically will, you know, help set the player up with training to get them ready for their workouts, you know, to kind of let them know what to expect. And also, you know, the agents have contacts with NBA teams and are able to, you know, get that intel, kind of, you know, be able to give the player maybe an idea of where he's going to get picked. And then, you know, obviously there's contract negotiations from there, although I think, you know, the way the NBA does it is it's, you know, more of a slotted system for rookies, so that's not as big of a deal. But, you know, it's someone to help guide you through the process and get you ready, let you know what to expect, and to help you be able to put your best foot forward in interviews and in workouts so that you give yourself the best position to be drafted as high as possible.
What do you make of all the different mocks out there? And some of them are more reputable than others, and I know there will be a lot of changes, especially as we get into the heart of the NBA draft time, which really is coming up now between the draft and June. What do you think of the disparity between where Romeo, by some of these guys that do this year in and year out, is projected to go?
Well, you know, I think it's a reflection of kind of the biggest issue with Romeo's game this season, which was shooting. And, you know, as we know, he was not a guy in high school who was an elite three-point shooter, but he was, you know, certainly solid and obviously has a good mid-range game. But that three-point shooting really came and went, you know, in his freshman season at Indiana, and maybe that was in part because of the wrist. You know, and look, most freshmen, you know, struggle to shoot their first year. And so I think when you see him, you know, dropping on some of those mocks, it's a reflection of that and a reflection of where the NBA game is going, you know, which is if you're going to be a guy who's 6'5", 6'6", you know, unless you just have truly elite athletic ability and creation ability, and I think Romeo is, you know, above average, you know, certainly, but at the NBA level, probably not truly elite, you're going to have to be able to make outside shots, and he just hasn't proven that yet. You know, I know Sam Vecenie, who does the NBA draft coverage for The Athletic, you know, at some point in the middle of the season, either on a podcast or in one of his articles, said that Romeo's outside shooting ability is the biggest swing skill in the draft. Because if he shows that he can do that, you know, he's a guy who is back up there in the top five, top six, you know, type range. And if not, you know, you see him down now in the teens, and even I think SI.com had him at 20. So, you know, I think a lot for him is going to be dependent on, you know, obviously what, you know, people think of the wrist and how much they think that might have affected it, and then how he goes and shoots and workouts. And I think if he can do that and dispel some of those concerns, then I think he did enough other things in his 1 year, you know, improving on the defensive end, showing the ability to, you know, to finish at the rim, that he could still, you know, get picked as a top 10 guy. But, you know, that shooting was, you know, was the biggest issue, and he's going to have to convince NBA teams either that the shooting is better than what he showed or that it's, you know, kind of the raw ability is there enough for them to work and, you know, change the shot however he may need to change it to where he can at least be an above-average outside shooter.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, this segment is presented each Friday by Coffee Crossing with their fourth location now open in Sellersburg. Switching gears a little bit, Assembly Call Radio, which is a program you guys produce once a week that we also air here on the Big X Sports Radio and can be found at assemblycall.com. In your most recent episode of that, you guys graded, in your opinion, Archie Miller's second year at the helm as IU's basketball coach. I'm curious, a summary of that and what grade you give him so far through his second year.
Yeah, you know, we went through, you know, a few different areas, you know, on-court success, culture, you know, program ambassadorship, you know, and really as we were talking about, we probably need to split up the on-court stuff and kind of go offense, defense. You know, that there have just been, it has felt like such a disparity between the two ends of the floor these first couple of years, which, you know, frankly, when you look at the history of coaches installing the pack line defense is kind of what happens, which, you know, should give everybody some optimism moving forward that, you know, year three, year four, that's typically when the defense reaches, you know, a great to elite level and the offense starts to show some improvement. So, you know, hopefully that's what we see. But, you know, year two was obviously a mixed bag. And I think I was probably harsher than Andy or Coach when it comes to on-court success. You know, I gave Archie a D. And I realize that there are extenuating circumstances there, the injuries and all of that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, on-court success is still kind of a bottom-line type thing. And even with all the extenuating circumstances baked in, I think this team could have still made the NCAA tournament. And, you know, they didn't. They made the NIT. So, you know, I think there was a little bit of progress there. But I think everybody was pretty disappointed with how the season went. And when you have, you know, losses in 12 out of 13 games, that's difficult. And that's going to reflect poorly on the coach, even if there are, you know, myriad reasons for how you can explain it and make sense of it. You know, at the end of the day, that is the responsibility of the coach to be able to find a way out of that. And it just, I think for a lot of people watching, you know, Indiana basketball, it doesn't mean that you've, you know, lost faith in Archie as the guy moving forward, but it just felt like, you know, there were maybe some things that could have been done this season that weren't to help pull the team out of the rut that they were in. You know, so you kind of look at it in totality, and I think it's hard to give a grade much higher than that. You know, I think from a recruiting perspective, that still is probably the place where you see the most positives and where it's the easiest to give a positive grade. You know, there have obviously been some high-profile misses, and I think sometimes that can draw too much concern from fans because when you're going after elite-level recruits and competing against elite schools for them, you are probably going to hear no more than you hear yes. And Indiana, you know, that's happened here recently with some guys they've gone after. But, you know, still, you know, two straight years enrolling a McDonald's All-American and, you know, probable Mr. Basketball if Trace wins it. You know, getting a bunch of other four-star in-state guys, getting a guy like Jerome Hunter who's really talented, you know, knock on wood, he'll be healthy. So I think from a recruiting perspective and constructing the roster for stability in the future, I think this year was another positive step in the right direction for Archie there. Eventually, that, of course, has to lead to on-court success, and that's been the issue his first 2 years is that we just haven't seen enough of that. We've seen some progress, but it's been slower, I think, than everybody wanted. So I think those grades are going to be lower, but, you know, from a recruiting perspective, and I think, you know, trying to develop the culture that he wants to build, you know, I think some of the on-court stuff that we saw this year, not coming ready to playing games, you know, being a little bit inconsistent, you know, that shows that there's still some work there to be done. But it does feel like Archie is slowly but surely building the program into his image, and now it's just obviously going to be very important in years three and four that that on-court success, you know, starts to catch up with, you know, some of the things that he's doing off the court and on the recruiting trail.
Jared Morris is with us. I agree completely with what you said as far as grading and recruiting from that perspective as well. I think you would be hard-pressed for anybody, whether they're the biggest fan and supporter of Archie Miller or maybe they have some question marks with year two in the books now, I think anybody would have to give him a really good recruiting grade when it comes to protecting the in-state borders. He's not been 100%, but he's been pretty doggone good, landing some really big prospects in each of the last two classes. What I think is going to be really interesting from that perspective as well, with the recruiting period heating up this weekend and coaches going on the road, who are the big guys in the state to protect that you feel like you've got to keep here in the borders, keep at IU, you protect the boundaries, the wording, phrases that Archie Miller has used since he's been the coach. I don't know that it's as clear cut as maybe it was with Romeo Langford in 18 and Trace Jackson Davis and, of course, Keon Brooks, who did not come to IU in the 19 class. But I think that's going to be interesting as well, because each of Archie's years here, there have been some really, really big prospects to land, to keep in state. And generally, he's done that, with the exception of Keon Brooks, I think, is the big miss. Not saying there aren't good players in the 2020 class, but it's just going to be interesting. They're different types of players. I'm not sure that any of them have the recognition or the national level prominence as a Romeo or as a Trace Jackson Davis.
Man, it's funny, you know, listening to you talk about that. You know, when Archie took the job, it was really clear cut that there were three recruits to go after in the state: Romeo, Keon, and Trace Jackson Davis. When he took the job, if you were told all Indiana fans, hey, you're going to get two of these three, would you take that right now? Every single IU fan would have been like, yes, we'll sign up for that immediately. Yes. Yeah, and you think back to some of the disappointment over Keon deciding to go to Kentucky, and I think that actually shows the progress Archie made, that he rebuilt, you know, Indiana's status with, you know, with in-state, you know, high school coaches and the ability to protect those borders enough that, you know, everybody just, you know, kind of felt that confidence about Keon and was really disappointed, you know. But I think it's important to have that perspective that, you know, look, he's done a really, really good job recruiting the state so far, given how big of an issue that was when he took over. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Now you look toward the future, and you're right. You know, in the class of 2020, it's not quite as clear cut. There's not that five-star guy there where you're like, okay, this is an obvious difference-making type player. They're good players. I'll get to that in a second. But you look at the future classes then, like the class of 2021, everybody's really high on Christian Lander from Evansville, Caleb First, another guy, you know, I saw they were both in ESPN's top 50 that they released. So, you know, that's a little bit closer to what these past two classes have been. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the class of 2020, because they've been involved for a long time, you know, with guys like Ethan Morton and Caleb Love, Morton from Pennsylvania, Love, I think, from Missouri, from the St. Louis area, who are, you know, obviously out-of-state prospects, but, you know, higher-rated. They're not five-stars, but they're kind of right below that level in the four-star category. And so a higher-caliber player, but an out-of-state guy. But then you look, and you've got Anthony Leal from Bloomington South that's right there. You've got Trey Galloway. Guys who feel like really solid building blocks, you know, that could be a part of winning programs, but certainly not guys that you project to have huge impacts right away. What do you do with that? So it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage that in 2020. And I have not seen these guys play very much at all. I would not even try to suggest what Archie should do. I just think it'll be interesting to see what they do, considering how much of a priority they've made in state. But at the end of the day, you know, you also have to have players who are good enough to get you where you want to go and that you believe in as a coach and that you think will fit. And so, you know, it's easy to say, hey, he needs to, you know, offer Anthony Leal. And as a fan, I do, that is what I hope happens, but that's more kind of based on, you know, not necessarily my evaluation of him playing, just because I would love to see a four-star Bloomington kid end up at Indiana, and we have a pretty good history of doing well with, you know, highly rated guys from Bloomington. But, you know, at a certain point, you do have to put trust in the coach's evaluations, unless they've given you reason not to, you know, that they're going to make the right decisions for what the program needs. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do, just because the class of 2020 is not as clear-cut as it's been in the past and as it appears it'll be in the near future.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Jumping to the more immediate future, two scholarships open for next year. Archie Miller could always choose to pocket, you would think, at least one of those potentially. What would you like to see in a perfect situation? What would you like to see happen with those two scholarships. Is there a player or two out there that Indiana is after that hasn't already committed elsewhere that you think would be a good fit? Is there another graduate transfer possibility, do you think? Or do you think maybe it's wise to hold one of them for future classes?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, if you're going to hold one of them, that's fine. I certainly wouldn't want them to bank two of them just because I think there are needs on this roster. I mean, I think getting Joey Brunk helped to shore up the front court. You don't have the shooting and maybe the overall versatility that you would like with those guys down there, but you certainly have enough players to feel good about your depth and your ability in the front court. Where I think there are still two gigantic question marks is a wing scorer, especially a wing shooter, and that's even if you take into account Jerome Hunter being back. With the uncertainty about him and the fact that, you know, we're heaping all these expectations on him, and he's still, you know, since he won that gold jersey last year, he hasn't played, so it's still going to be, you know, his first year out there with a year off from basketball, so you can't expect too much. You know, Indiana needs some scoring from the wing. It would be great if Justin Smith became that guy, but right now we just haven't seen the consistency, you know, in terms of offensive skill and shooting to be able to put trust in that. So, you know, a guy like Trendon Watford, a guy like Lester Quinones, neither one is likely to come, but they're the two names that have been talked about the most in the class of 2019. Either one of those guys would, you know, fit a big need right there. And then I think the other thing is you'd like to have an experienced ball handler, you know, someone who can back up Rob Phinisee at the point. Because right now, you know, obviously Armon Franklin's a freshman. He's not really going to be ready for that type of role. And both Devontae and Al operate better when they're not the primary ball handler. So that's a lot of pressure on Rob Phinisee. Not that he can't be that guy, but, you know, if he gets injured or struggles or whatever, it would be nice to have, you know, some insurance there and just a steady hand to help with the backcourt, both in terms of depth and just another guy who can distribute and allow Al and Devontae to do what they do best. So ideally, you would find someone to fill both of those roles, and I think you could feel much better going into next season. I think at a minimum, you've got to find one of them. And if you don't, you know, find any of them, you know, hey, I think the expectations are going to be what they are heading into next season, but there's really going to be some big question marks and big holes that were not filled this offseason.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call is with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Live period stuff starts tonight, ends on Sunday. We're going to talk some about that in a little more detail in the next segment with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. But, Jared, before we let you go, the thing that just amazes me with live events and college coaches on the road and the shoe circuits and all the stuff that we've come to follow pretty regularly, almost mainstream, like we do high school basketball, really, we'll know tonight every move that Archie Miller makes, and likely we'll know where the assistant coach is at. So when I come back Monday for the show, I'll be able to say Friday night, here's who Archie Miller watched. Friday night, here's who Tom Ullstrom watched. Here's where they were at Saturday. They switched places. They went here on Saturday or Sunday. It's just amazing to me how in-depth, not just recruiting, but every movement is covered in this stuff.
It would be so weird to live a life where people are always tweeting where you are. Like, you know, Jared Morris just picked up his daughter from daycare. That would be such a strange existence. But you're right. I mean, we are going to know where these guys are. And the thing is, like, that kind of seems silly. And obviously it is. Like, all the stuff that we talk about is kind of silly in a certain respect. But where they are is important because recruits are looking at that. And, you know, that is a thing that recruits really kind of pay attention to, like, how much of a priority was I? Was all the staff there? Was the head coach there? It really, like, those optics do make a difference. So it will be interesting to see what games is Archie at, because if Archie's there, you know that that's a priority, obviously. And if there are games where multiple coaches are there, again, you know, that's a big priority. Not that an assistant, just an assistant being there isn't a priority, but there is a bit of a hierarchy there. And so I think it'll be interesting to watch that, because that gives you a good indication of who are the players Indiana is really zeroing in on, and who, you know, because that's where the head coach is going to be, and who are the ones, or maybe the evaluations are a little bit more in the initial stage, because that's more what, you know, what an assistant would do, or to kind of help cover ground if there's something happening at the same time as a game where the head coach is. So it does kind of seem silly that all that stuff gets tweeted out, but it actually does have a lot of importance if you're really, you know, into following recruiting.
Absolutely. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks and pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-through. Coffee Crossing Sellersburg now open. Jared, have a great weekend. I know you'll be glued to your phone, your computer, whatever you're doing, tracking all the movements of Archie Miller, and we'll talk about it next week.
Sounds good, Matt. You too.
All right, Jared Morris with us. Always on Friday, a great way to kind of recap all the IU basketball-related stuff for the week, and Jared does a great job. We appreciate having him with us. Make sure you check out assemblycall.com. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. The perfect guy to talk to about the recruiting weekend that is up on us. It's a big one, especially this year with just the one spring period that coaches really not allowed back at the shoe stuff until July for one final period. So it'll be a big weekend. You'll see everybody on the road. Coaches will be watching all of these guys focused on 2020 and the 2021 classes primarily as well. But there will be some younger kids out playing, even younger than that. And we'll talk about all of it next and where you can expect the big players in college basketball to be tonight. Coming up next with Kyle Dedenrip right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for this final segment on this Friday program, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. And Kyle, it's a big, big weekend for college coaches, probably as big as there ever was in the spring, because I know it's been down to one weekend for a couple of years now for spring evaluation for the coaches to get out and see some of these prospects. But this is really the only opportunity that they'll have to see them in this setting, playing with their shoe teams, which are really from top to bottom all very competitive collections of the best prospects from different regions across the country that practice and play together each weekend. This is really their only opportunity to watch these guys for a full weekend setting until they'll have the same chance for one weekend in July to do the same thing. It used to be one in the spring and three in July. Of course, years ago it was two in the spring and even longer than that in July. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, nothing will change. Everybody's going to be there per normal, but a lot more emphasis. I think you'll see a lot more coaches focusing hard, evaluating hard, instead of maybe catching up with coaching friends and others along the recruiting trail.
Yeah, there'll be, I think, probably a sense of, you know, you're under the clock, you're under the gun just a little bit more when you've only got one weekend here in April. And then, you know, I think the June, you know, the NBA camp around there in June, and of course that calendar's changed from, like you said, from what it used to be with April and July. So the first real look at kind of what this will look like, not much going on. There's an Adidas Spring Classic here in Indianapolis, but the shoe company events are elsewhere. The bigger Adidas event is in Dallas, Texas. The EYBL for Nike's in Atlanta, and the Under Armour, I believe, is in Kansas City this weekend. So kind of spread out to some different areas of the country for this weekend. And then here in a couple weeks, we'll have the EYBL here. But the EYBL, different, of course. You change the format, and this won't be an open period like it used to be the last couple of years it's been here. So that'll be different, too. That was neat. The EYBL, of course, brings out so many coaches when it is an open event. So that'll be a little bit different. The talent will be the same, you know, as far as the level of players here, but you won't see, you won't see all the big name, you know, Coach K, or you see Patrick Ewing walking through the subway there in Westfield and stuff like that. It's always kind of neat, but that'll be different this year just because of the calendar change. But yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, I think it'll be, you know, these coaches obviously know who they want to see and things like that, but. But I think it kind of ramps up the intensity of what you're trying to get done, you know, over the course of a weekend. You're probably trying to see more guys. You know, you just don't have time to just sit there and maybe, you know, wait through another game and potentially see somebody you wouldn't know otherwise. You know, so you know, that's kind of the drawback, I think, of what this calendar looks like. But we'll see how it goes. Like I told you before, I think I'm probably more open to ideas than maybe some others are, and kind of see what this looks like exactly before we just throw in the trash too much.
Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. I know it's early with the shoe teams, the AAU teams for this season, but a lot of the guys we talk about from the state of Indiana that Indiana is recruiting, Indiana may have already offered scholarships to in the 2020 or 2021 classes. Can you speak a little bit about where some of those guys will be at this weekend with their respective shoe teams?
Yeah, the team with the top Adidas Indian Elite team will be down in Dallas. That's the team with, you know, Anthony Leal, you know, that group of Trey Galloway, Malik Edmonds from Brownsburg, Lander from Evansville is playing up on that team. So they'll be down in Atlanta for that. And they were just here actually a couple weeks ago playing in another Adidas event. Of course, that one's not an evaluation period tournament, but I got a chance to see them play a little bit. I didn't spend the whole weekend there, but you know, kind of enough to get a sense of you know what that team looks like. And of course, the EYBL team will be in Atlanta. That's you know, Nigel Pack, DeAndre Davis, those two from Lawrence Central. You know, the kid from Mishawaka, Marion, Jaden Ivey, who just committed to Purdue, is playing with the EYBL team. So you got a lot of good players with that group, and they'll be down in Atlanta this weekend. And then the Under Armour group, like I said, is in Kansas City. So, you know, guys kind of spread out all over the place. The Caleb First, he's also playing with EYBL, Nike team. So, you know, the Nike guys will be out in Atlanta. And then, like I said, they'll be coming back here in a couple weeks. So get a chance to see them play as a group. And a couple of good groups there with the 2020 class and 2021 for that EYBL team.
Kyle, the coaches in the building, like the EYBL, when it's been in Indianapolis the last couple of years during a live period, the coaches in the building, especially you get the big names, and even not the big names, just the feel that they are there, lined up, watching intently, it adds a whole nother level to what's already a really talented group of players in these shoe circuits. But I've always said to young players and their parents or people that want to get involved and want to have a see their player at some point, their son, whoever, at some point be recruited, it's something worth going to when it comes to the area, just to see the level of talent and athleticism that is out there across the country. When I walk into a high school game or a AAU tournament, as opposed to one of these shoe sponsored things, it's just a completely different feel. Not only is it set up and ran always professionally, but you can just tell from your first glance at all the courts in front of you that the talent is really unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, when the Adidas Invitational used to come here right at the beginning of July, you know, there was a I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 year window where that would happen. And, you know, there's all these coaches came here. And I remember telling, you know, people I worked with, you know, all these guys come through here. And then, you know, they're like, well, why don't we, you know, we need to get out there and you know, get some photos and stuff like that. And this is just kind of a, you know, behind the scenes thing. But it really, I think people don't realize unless you're out there covering it, you know, you run into, you know, Coach K or Roy Williams, they're just walking by you. And then you look around and see, you know, 10, 12 other coaches you recognize. And you know, it's just those bigger events like that. Those coaches may not be there the entire time, but I was kind of reminded of that when the UIBL came here, that it was probably even bigger than what the Adidas Invitational was at that time, you know, seven, eight years ago. I don't know that there wasn't a big name college coach who didn't at least spend a part of the time here in the Grand Park for the UIBL. You know, there's so many great players, and I always think it's fun just to sit there, even if it's not a local kid, to get a chance to watch some of these guys play, you know, because you know in a couple of years they're going to be, you know, I've never seen DeAndre Ayton play here, or, you know, Cole Anthony, who just verbaled to North Carolina, getting a chance to see him play when he was just a sophomore, and, you know, of course, Greg Anthony's his dad, or just whoever. I mean, there's been so many great players that aren't from here, but you're going to be seeing on TV here shortly and in the NBA before too long, just to get a chance to see them play in that type of environment. You know, it's a lot of fun to see up close, and then you kind of get a sense of, you know, if you see Tom Izzo sitting right below the basket, you know he's locked in on somebody, or, you know, Coach K, you know, who he's looking at as far as his class goes. Marvin Bagley was up here a couple of years ago, and he was watching him. So you kind of get a, even if it's not a local kid and you're not even going to write about it, just kind of the chance to see, connect the dots on you know, what kids are going to end up where. And you know, that's normally an opportunity where, you know, you're not going to have to be that close to the action and really get a sense of just how great these players are at that level.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Kyle is with us on Fridays here on the show. Jaden Ivey, you mentioned his name earlier. We discussed this some yesterday. Anytime an in-state player goes off the board, especially that early, you got to wonder what type of player they are, what's their future look like, what type of prospect could they be. What kind of pickup did Purdue get there and maybe IU miss out on?
Yeah, kind of a longer, rangy guard who, you know, he's got Noelle Ivey. She's, of course, played at Notre Dame and has connections there, and he lives up close to there at Mishawaka. So, you know, there was a connection there that you figured maybe would, you know, make him a Notre Dame recruit at some point. But, you know, I had a chance to see him play a few times last summer, and even at that time thought he was sort of an underappreciated, underranked type of player. He's a guy you can tell who's just going to get kind of, as he fills out and you know, gets stronger and those sorts of things, is going to be a really, really good player, really good athlete. Like I said, longer, rangy type of guard. I think really good, you know, you talk about, you know, kind of getting in before everybody's got a chance to see him. And sometimes that's the key to these sorts of things is, you know, not that Purdue put any pressure on him to commit, but, you know, a chance to get him on board before everybody else gets a chance to see him play this spring and summer. So, you know, that's a really good get. He's a 2020 class, and you know, there's some good players in that class. There's probably not maybe the top level guys in that class in the state that there was in 2019 or even some of the classes before, at least when you start looking at national recruiting rankings. But, you know, Ivy's one of those guys I think will continue to rise in those rankings, you know, for what they're worth, kind of as his career progresses. I kind of saw him as a guy who hadn't maxed out his potential yet by any means. And of course, his mom and, you know, her connections playing in the WNBA and, you know, even currently as a Notre Dame assistant. So he's got some good bloodlines and those sorts of things too. So, you know, he's definitely got a lot of ability, and, you know, I think his ranking right now is around 200, and he's a three-star type of recruit, but he can really shoot, you know, a good shooter, you know, good offensive player, and I think a really good timing, you know, for Purdue to jump in there and get him on board.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays on the program. Kyle, enjoy the weekend. I wish there was something in Indianapolis this weekend as far as the live period and the EYBL, as we've talked about, but there's not. So maybe it won't be as crazy of a weekend for you, because I know if it was in Indianapolis, you would be there, you would cover it from top to bottom. So maybe you can get a little enjoyment this weekend away from the gym.
I'm looking forward to watching some baseball. As long as it doesn't rain, watching kids play baseball and kind of monitoring from afar. We'll get our fill when the EYBL comes here in a couple of weeks, and always look forward to that event.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, at Kyle Nedenrip on Twitter. Lots of great stuff. Kyle, thanks for the chat.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Thank you so much for being with us. Just a reminder, we get more and more people listening via podcast. It's just unbelievable, the people that we hear from that listen maybe completely out of state, completely out of the area. So if you missed something, or if you got somebody out of the area that you think might be interested in it, I want to remind you of a couple ways you can find us. We're on Apple Podcast, and you can just open up your Apple Podcast app, which is on most iPhones or also on the computer as well. And just type in the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a rating and a review while you're there. We would love to have you subscribe. You can get the show delivered to you sometime in the afternoon each day and go back and anything you missed, anything you want to hear again, archives of stuff there as well. A great resource for you. Also, we're on SoundCloud. It's an app as well. You can just search the Hoosier Report, or if you want to look it up, you can point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Have a great weekend. Should be a fun night. I know a lot of people going to the Bats game tonight with Josh Rogers pitching. There's some high school baseball in the area as well tonight. And let's hope, I think the weather, knock on wood, should be good tonight as well. So have a great Friday night, a great weekend. We'll be back next week. It's Derby week, of course. That doesn't affect our program very much. It will affect us next Friday. We will not have a show next Friday, but we'll be with you Monday through Thursday next week at 11 a.m. Of course, on Monday, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will be with us to talk IU stuff. Also, Mike Pegram of Peaks.com with us as well. So make sure you're with us Monday for that. Have a great weekend. I'll talk with you soon. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.